Mark, we're supposed to hit 105 degrees today in the valley. It's almost October.
And after 4 months of this, a lot of us have the desert version of cabin fever because, frankly, what is the point of leaving air-conditioned comfort?
Yeah, you know, walking and biking aren't nearly as much fun if you think you might just collapse in the street.
Is it December yet? Maybe January?
But if those of you out there are ready to sweat for science, you'll have a great opportunity tomorrow afternoon at Edison Park in Phoenix. As urban planners and city leaders try to cool the city off and make it more walkable, there's a growing effort to find more data to help figure out what to do. That's where ASU's David Handula comes in. He'll be leading the Heat Mappers Walk and Ride starting at 4 tomorrow, and he's with me. So, Dave, are there different general perspectives when it comes to whether someone's a longtime resident here who's dealt with the heat and probably has become sick of it, and someone who hasn't experienced it for too long?
Yeah, I think there is a different perception between those two different cases. One of the themes that we've heard in our work with the Nature Conservancy is this idea you spoke to, that people are sick of it. Both literally sick, their health is being affected, as well as fed up with, tired with, wondering if we can change the way that the city exists to perhaps help them be cooler and more comfortable as they go about their daily lives. So what we're hoping, one of the goals that we're hoping to achieve with this event is by having more of an explicit conversation about heat and paying attention to the landscape around us as we are walking the particular route. Is to think about what can be done, build a sense of agency and capacity that there is more that we can do, that we can make a pitch to decision makers about what we're looking for. And I think that sense is not one that we hear so much from newcomers to the area who are simply surprised and shocked with how extreme it can be.
Generally, are you looking for the answer to the question of whether how we perceive how the heat is affecting us correlates with how it actually does based on numbers, based on our heart rate, that kind of thing?
That's exactly right. Looking at the intersection between the environmental conditions as we might measure them as climate researchers and what that means for the human experience and the human perception is exactly what this event is one of the major goals of this event. We know from past research that how people feel when they're out in the environment, how hot or cool they perceive it to be, is only about 50% determined by the environmental variables. A lot of other factors come into play. What we're wearing, how hard we're working, how long we've been out there, what our psychological expectation is for the environment. And we'd really like to see how those different variables play out over time and space as people walk this particular route.
What about how people determine they want to challenge themselves with the heat? Obviously, we get rescues in the course of the summer where people, I guess, decide they're not either knowledgeable enough of how the heat will affect them or they think they can somehow take it on. Is there something there where, in some cases, people want to challenge themselves and we almost want to find out how much each of us can challenge ourselves or whether we're just being foolish?
Absolutely. And we're hoping to gain some insights into that as well through this event. Unfortunately, there's not very much research about the duration of heat exposure that we can tolerate as individuals. And at this event, it's going to take folks 45 minutes, perhaps an hour, to traverse the route that we've mapped out. And you know, although we're not expecting anyone to encounter any medical difficulties or health problems, although we do have medical staff on hand just in case that does occur, but what we would like to see how people's comfort, feeling, attitude, sense of well-being changes, and maybe it will even deteriorate over the course of this route, which might give us some clues into how much we can take. If we start to see that the people are saying they're really suffering after a certain time interval or perhaps in a landscape that looks a certain way, that'll give us more clues for how our cities can provide advice to hikers, recommendations for hikers, and so on. So although I don't think we're going to be pushing anyone beyond their physical limits of this particular event, hopefully some of the data we collect will give us insights into what those physical limits are.
And how much are you hoping you get a good cross-section of folks in terms of age, fitness levels, whatnot?
And I'm glad you brought that up because that's another limitation of a lot of the research that's been done as well in this field of thermal comfort and heat stress. The origins of this research is with the military, and many of the studies are thus based on fit, young, predominantly white men who were performing laboratory experiments in the 1950s and 1960s. And you know, young men in the military are not representative of the broad population that we're concerned about when it comes to understanding our experiences with heat. So we would, you know, we're very much hoping to see a really diverse set of participants in this event. people who live in the neighborhood and live outside of the neighborhood, people who are outside regularly, people who are not outside regularly, older and younger people, people from all different backgrounds and walks of life. The more diverse the participation, the better, in our opinion.
Comes to mind for me that certainly there are reasons and motivation to make Phoenix and the areas around the valley more walkable, more livable, cooler, of course. But in some ways, not to be too cynical, but it almost feels like we're swimming upstream because this is a very, very hot place that has gotten hotter, and it's hotter for a longer period of time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why, I think that's why we've seen the city of Phoenix identify this as a priority. Phoenix pitched heat management as its topic of concern for the Bloomberg Mayor's Challenge competition that it's in right now. Other cities are starting to articulate heat as a priority as well. And, you know, the best time to be having this conversation would have been a few decades ago before we really started seeing the city warm up with all of our urban growth. But another great time to have this conversation is right now. We know that the cities around here are thriving and growing in terms of population, but we also know that there's more heat on the way for a number of different reasons. And I think now is a great time to be thinking about how we can organize ourselves as cities, as county, and even as state government to take on this challenge that impacts our health, impacts our quality of life, and potentially poses threats to our economic growth.
David Hondula is an assistant professor in ASU's School of Geographical Sciences and Urban Planning. He's leading tomorrow afternoon's Heat Mappers Walk and Ride.